we can start to develop this. So the type of the lecture is really devoted to understanding a series of problems, a series of difficulties, a series of intricate points around the figure of Terragni and around his architecture. That's why I call it the theme, the motif, and the crisis around the figure of Terragni, around his architecture. And in order to develop what is the theme of Terragni, the architectural theme, what are the reasons, what are the motives, I think in English you can say motives as well as reasons, means the same thing, and what are the crises, all these aspects that in a way or in the other, all coming together in the architecture of Terragni, we have to face a series of issues, and we have to pose a series of questions to ourselves. First of all, why the stature of the architecture of Terragni, of Terragni himself as a personality, is so preeminent, is so important? We have to address the issue of modernity. What kind of idea of modernity we have? We have to face the issue of the crisis. We have to understand, again, what is the motif, the synthetic language of Terragni, and what is the reason, the motif. So, these are kind of the keywords that we are going to follow. Probably you will find in Como the book Around. It's the book that was very kind Luca mentioned before. The book has been republished for the third time. It's around in Italy and in Como, you will find. It's a book that, as Luca very kindly described, has some level of literary depth into it. So, first of all, it's in Italian, and second, it could be a good exercise for somebody that wants to go on in understanding certain nuances of Italian. Okay, now my question was, probably some of you know who Terragni is, and somebody don't know. They're just, you know, like students are. You know, they are in this great university with all these things, all the resources, and they have no clue who Terragni is. And there is somebody in this room that has completely no idea of what Terragni is. I'm sure I'm experienced enough. So before going to the difficulties aspect that I mentioned, that are the real core of the lecture, I'll give you an overview, okay? What are the basic information around Terragni, what are the basic architecture that he did, and kind of basic information, so you are not completely lost. First of all, Terragni is born in Como in 1904, and died in 1943, very young, at the age of 39. In reality, he almost stopped working at the age of 35 in 1939, because just after the war started, he was called at the duty at the army, in the army. So basically, the last 4 years of his life, from 39 to 43, were all involved in being a soldier in the army. So we are looking at a person who died at the age of 39, that started to go to the war at the age of 35. All his career is around 12 to 13 years of activity as an architect. So a rather short period. But in these 12, 13 years that we can more or less position from 25 to 39, to 39, so 13 years more or less, for a series of situations, he really was able to put together a substantial quantity of work, and was really able to cross in his activity a series of themes and a series of of issues relating to the modern architecture that was forming in the same time. Now let's see some of this architecture so that we can have an idea of the architecture that we are talking. Nice effect, huh? Okay, so I prepared this, that is just a selection of images so we can jump from one to the other and just see some of this. This is Como, it's sitting. Okay. It is where you are going to. Of course, it's on the lake, and of course, it is an old Roman city that has been evolved during medieval time, but kept the structure of the Roman camp, of the Roman military camp. Let's see what we can see now. I think at the age of, in 1928, at the age of 24, he already made this building that actually is a monument to the death of the First World War. You probably are going there. So this is the work of a person in his 21 or 22 years old. And that is referring to some type of traditional vocabulary yet of that time, but it is pretty clearly with a strength that is completely new. This is building, in some way, the first building in which Terragni started to be interested with certain issues of the international language of modern architecture. We can spend quite some time in understanding why this building is so relevant, but I can just show you a short animation. So you can see, even from this only 4 seconds of animation, how many new things are in this building at that time. It's a building that is based on different linguistic methods in composing the whole design that are related to Russian constructivists, as well as Mendelssohn, as well as Le Corbusier for certain other things. But there is a feeling of originality in putting together all these things that immediately it is clear to us that we are in front of a person that knows what architecture is and has some level of talent. He made this building that is called the Novo Comune in 1928-29. It is an apartment building that, of course, you are going to visit. We could spend quite some time in describing it. I will just again probably show some animation, just to give you a sense of what the building is. If I can find where I am. Because at that time the whole architectural scene in Italy was very much looking at models that are coming from the Renaissance, very traditional architecture. And this arrived really like an aircraft, like a boat, like a piece of modernity landing there on the river of the lake was really a shock, and a series of battles are being played around this building because different forces wanted to somebody to demolish, somebody to fight, to keep it, etc. Strange action of the camera is done to show one of the key aspects of the building, which is really its level of abstraction, of almost complete abstraction. You can read it in different upside down, it doesn't really matter. It starts to have an abstract composition and figurative search. At the age of 28, Terragni built one of the most important buildings of Italian architecture of the 20th century. That is the Casa del Fascio. The Casa del Fascio, he designed Casa del Fascio in the December 32, at the age of 28, and was built in the next 4 years. Of course, you are going to visit it, and we are going to discuss on certain aspects later about this building, and just show you some pictures. As I said to you, this is just an overview, just to give a basic idea of the architect we are talking of now. We are going to understand what are the issues really later. Find out some movies. Just small parts of this movie, because the whole movie is more than 1 hour. But I think for people that don't, later on is a kind of overview, you know, start to see things, and now we discuss about why these things are so relevant and what are the issues, really. Interesting because it's around.
What is that sound ringing in my ears? The strangest sound. I've heard for years and years the sound of
last year, no, 3 years ago, 2004, and seeing the centenary of the birth of the Rally, and the series of events happened around Como, Milano, the music that we published, etc. The sound that made me start. Another thing, and that's then we can go in. You see that I'm skipping the large majority of the buildings. I don't want to be overwhelming and just give you a little bit of a sense of what's going on here. Questo è il nipote, quella manina lì. Vuoi vedere il nipote? No, figurati. This is the Asilo Santeria, the child school that Ferragni designed, the daycare that Ferragni designed for children between 3 and 6, and is considered an absolute masterpiece of contemporary architecture in Italy. Okay, then there are many other buildings and many other things that could be said, but for now let's stop here and let's start the lecture now. Try to follow what are the real issues that we can tackle and what are the real problems, why we are interested in discussing certain of these issues here. Just a second, I'll open that page. Okay, the first problem that we have to discuss is the idea of the stature of Terragni. Why Terragni is so important? And has been said, and probably with reason, that Terragni is the first important Italian architect after Guarini, after the 18th century of architecture, the late Baroque architecture. So basically, almost for 200 years, Italian architecture was not able to produce a figure that could be compared with the other important figures that are happening around the world in 18th and 19th century. And there is this phrase that exactly said that Ferragni is the first architect that arrives in an international scene of architecture after almost two centuries of secondary relevance of Italian architecture. So this creates a real question. That means that the stature of Terragni is really important if we look from an historical point of view. Understand the idea of the stature of Terragni from this point of view brings to a very simple test that you can do. You can look around the book of modern architecture written in the last 50 years and check how many pages are dedicated to different Italian architects, and you will discover that to Terragni is the major number of pages that has been dedicated. This can be very easily done in Frampton, can be done in Edling book, can be done in others authors, in Durden, in others. So for a series of authors, Terragni is definitely the most important Italian architect of the first part of the 19th century. If we really look at the Italian scene from an international standpoint, kind of understanding what is really the kind of key relevant figure in the international scene as the most prominent one, Surely Terragni is on one side, and it is very difficult to avoid the figure of Aldo Rossi for the other part of the century. If we agree, we like or not, is another matter, but in terms of stature and relevance, these are probably the two most relevant figures. But let's be focused on Terragni now. So, there is this clear idea of the stature in terms of the intellectual relevance of his work, and this actually is a coincidence, but since this picture is here, Terragni was also a man pretty strong and very high. This is Terragni where he was discussing with another friend of his and relevant architect Sartoris about materials on a cave, different type of marbles on a cave very near to Como. It's pretty interesting this because you see that basically Sartoris is almost the house of Terragni in terms of size, etc. But this is just a curiosity. So the stature of Terragni, it is relevant, it is important, and in a way is an issue that we have to deal with. The other aspect that it is absolutely crucial is to understand that Terragni lived in a moment of history that was rotating around two facts. First of all, the international modern architecture is already born, start to be known around the world. In 1925 l'Esprit Nouveau di Le Corbusier is built. In 1926 the Bauhaus building by Walter Gropius is open. Mendelssohn architecture has already well known around Europe. The neoclassicism grammar has been established as a way to create an abstract, modern, dynamic language has been already set up. So the whole environment that created the modern architecture was already in place. The generation of Terragni is like the generation of the first students that, being themselves involved in a very heavy and academic school, understood through magazines and through books that other world existed and was the other world of modernity, of abstraction, of functionality, of light, of lightness, etc. They were a minority. They were a small group of students at the beginning. They were illuminated by this international architecture happening around them, happening all outside Italy. And so they started to do exactly the type of design and building that we've seen before. I can just show you. So, for example, they were doing at school exercise like this. This was the normal way that they were educated in a kind of academic environment, although this one already reveals things that are pretty innovative in many respects. And the first commission that they had at that time were something that can be of this type here. So, like chapels and things done in a very traditional style. Although if I should really lecture on Terragni, I should show exactly why this actually are quite innovative. But just now imagine the scene. Once these issues of modernity, rationality, functionality, and these influences of Le Corbusier, of Gropius, Mendelssohn, of the rational right, they started really to address new type of architecture, new way of formatting, and new tensions and ideas. So this that I was telling before is just an example of that tension. And as well as this one. At the same time, what is crucial to understand, it is that it is immediately clear when you see this building, and particularly when you see buildings such as this. 1 second, we are going. Okay, when we see the Casa del Fascio here, we just saw. Okay, these buildings here. It is clear that is a building that doesn't adhere completely to the international style, to the type of light architecture, dynamic architecture that was done by Gropius or Rietveld or Le Corbusier. Something strange happens here, and it is clearly when you see the image. And here we are starting to understand what is the theme of the Rani. You see, what do we mean by theme on an architect, on a dealing architecture? Is a very important word, because when we use this word, what is a theme? What is really this person's looking for, means that we are interested in really what type of reasoning this person is making over and over again. It can be said that basically a novelist that at the end he always writes in different ways, telling different stories, putting together different elements, but at the end he's always developing kind of the same theme in different ways. So the theme is really is something that has to say what is really the element, the key element that this person is addressing. And so there is the theme on music. There is a theme on art, there is a theme on literature, and there is definitely a theme in architecture. And probably even yourself, if you have been done not so many projects so far, you know that often you are thinking along the same lines. You do different projects, but basically there are a couple of elements that interest you, and those elements kind of struggle one with the other, and the different occasions, the different projects are all different ways to tackle the same theme. It takes time to understand that really it is possible to have full consciousness of this theme, and it takes time. And immediately when you see a certain level of architecture, you understand that that person is working on a theme, and that is something that moves from one project to the other. And then if you immediately see the great architects, even that are now, you immediately understand that it's not a matter of style, or it's not only a matter of style, that is secondary. The real interesting issue is what are the basic elements of their reasoning. So, for example, to mention Kulas, just to make one, it is clearly that Kulas is always working on certain elements that relate with scale, relate with impact, relate to the relationship between form and cities. If he does a single house or he does a museum, it doesn't really matter. Those are the things, the basic ingredients into play. And then if you see all, it's, again, is another architect of great relevance of today, and of course he's thinking in completely different terms, you know. He's always interested in some kind of intervening of forces. He's always interested to give some kind of presence, almost figurative presence of his pieces. And those rotate, you know, from project to project. But the themes is always the same. So discover your theme. This is what I wanted to say. Try to give attention to what you're really looking for, because those elements are very precious seeds that you must be able to, you know, to grow and develop over time. Jumping back to Terani is definitely a pretty talented young architect. It is pretty clear that he has a theme. How can we define this theme? Well, you see, the theme of Terani is very clearly shown in this building, and we can see some of his other building around the theme once we discover. Terani is really interested in a dialectic between the stereometric volume on one side and the dynamic variations within that stereometric volume on the other. Are two things that are opposite one to the other. That's why the theme is so interesting. On one side, there is uniformity, volumetric presence, mass, gravity, and all that. On the other side, there is an abstract way of making things, a very dynamic, in some cases even transparent presence. So, stereometric mass, abstraction dynamic on the other side, create a kind of collisions, are two things that are one against the other. And this is what makes the theme so interesting and so relevant and makes his architecture so rich at the first level. Later we will discover other levels. Why these two things are so interesting? Because there is another reason in order these two opposites to exist. On one side, related to mass, stereometric, pure forms, etc., there is a long tradition that is the historical tradition of Italy, and particularly the tradition of building in a certain way, generally in stone, often in kind of closed forms. So there is all that presence of construction on the way that the city it is done and it is built. On a way within this, okay, within this there is really this memory of the artificial imprinting of the Roman architecture. What is this? This is the plan of Como, this is the lake, you see? This is the lake, and this is the plan of Como when it was a Roman military camp. And so those lines, that kind of attitude of making rigid form, abstract form, grid, mass, solidity, etc., it's like an imprinting, something that is there and is part of your life, something you cannot really escape. But on the other side is exactly what I was mentioning before. There is all this tension towards transparency, dynamics, abstraction, etc., that was coming from the revolution of the modern architecture. And these two things must coexist in order to make the architecture that Terani is interested in. That's why this guy is so important and he's so interesting. And this is the reason that the statue, it is so prominent. Because he's the first Italian architect that is able, on one side, to very deeply innovate, being open himself to the revolution of the modern architecture, but on the other side, he was able to keep some secrets of the architecture that was in Italy from centuries and centuries. And it is this mixture that makes its architecture so relevant. Let's see how he does. He does with a series of inventions that are pretty much spectacular. Because when we see this building, we immediately understand that there is this tension. There is the tension between the volume and the dynamic parts, there is a contemporary feeling towards abstraction, that is absolutely clear, and on the other side there is clearly an idea of mass, of presence, of volume, of chiaroscuro. Abstraction, just do this. It is pretty clear that it's an abstract composition. We can do it what we want, it's still there. The strength of the composition is there. So it's dynamic and it's abstract. But at the same time, the presence of the volume is so relevant. What he invents, he makes a big invention here. That is, first of all, he decides to create his construction completely defined within an half cube that you see here. It's a 32 meters by 16 meters, more or less. So around 10 feet and something, right? Giusto? 32 metri, circa 10 rotti. 16 metri di altezza per 32 di larghezza. Within this cube, that is actually is an half cube, he invent one first interesting organization, that is the following. This is not a courtyard. This is absolutely crucial to understand and always be very aggressive when somebody will tell you that this is a courtyard. This is not a courtyard. And if you look at this building as a courtyard, first, you don't understand anything about the building. Second, you don't understand anything about the ground. Third, you don't understand and you don't have a clue to interrelate one being of the right into the other. So be extremely aggressive when somebody will tell you that this is a courtyard. It's not a courtyard. Why is not a courtyard? Because the whole idea of Terrani is based on the fact that this building is divided in three zones. And this is absolutely crucial because what he really wants is that the inside space relates with the outside space. In terms not only spatially, but also functionally. Because this is the Casa del Fascio, is a public building done to celebrate, not to celebrate, it's a building that has to work with the state of Italy of that time, that as you know was a dictatorship, unfortunately. And it was very important that the people that we meet outside in some way is in contact with the people being outside. So he organized the building in this three zones, with this central zone that is directly connected to the outside. This is done very strongly also because here there are movable windows that can open simultaneously to allow this flow. The other invention within that is that he decided not to cover the building at the top level, at the fourth floor, but basically to cover this interior space at this level. You see in the section. Covering at this level is very important because it brings a section like that. And when you are going to see in the building, you will notice that this space is proportioned in a very interesting way, always in that relationship of 2:1, that is the same of the other building itself. Then, on the other floor, he puts the offices and the other matter that related with a series of terraces with the outside. So, it's a cube, actually it's a half cube, it's a perfect half cube that gives the sense of the mass, of solidity, etc. And, very importantly, can be sold to the regime as something celebrative enough, you know, can be says that this purity, this kind of monolithic object, can in some way be a celebration of that regime. Of course, it's a truth, but as we must understand it. But the really interesting thing it is, once you created for yourself such a terrible constraint, I mean, imagine, you do a cube, okay? This is it is an ice cube that sits on the ground very heavily and has this kind of connection with the outside. And then if you look at just at the plan, it is organized from a distribution point of view in a pretty traditional sense. Even imagine that a whole type of construction. How can you find the opposite? How can you find a way to create to that cube, to that solid mass, an idea of dynamic, an idea of movement, an idea of an aesthetic that is a modern aesthetic, so it's based on a kind of continuous movement of architecture instead of the solidity. And here comes the other pretty incredible invention that Terragni put it together. That is, and basically nobody has done that before him. He thinks, okay, now that I have the pure cube, what I do, normally, the normal traditional architecture,
when you go around the room, this is possible. What's like that? A palazzo, what's like that? Through kind of a juxtaposition, an horizontal juxtaposition, piling up of different orders, right? For example, here you may have the Dorician order, and here we can have another one, this kind of structure, this kind of structure. Anyway, it's a piling up system, an horizontal piling up system, that exactly, and particularly if you do something like that on top, create this bone, this very solid element, and perspective very sitting there.
What Terragni does, instead of having this system,
it's a pretty simple invention at the end. He said, you know what? Instead of doing like that, I'm doing like that. I'm doing vertically. And then I design different, this is our elevation, now I'm doing the other, close to, okay? The other one is, for example, down like that, like that, like that, like that, like that, like that. And then here, for example, I'm doing like that, like that, like that. I have to do it all, otherwise it doesn't make the sense. It must do it. So be patient. Okay, but it's pretty clear. What you meant are these vertical streaks. Are this vertical streak that goes always absolutely from top to bottom, but are put it together one together with the other in a very asymmetrical way in the overall composition. So all of these are exactly done from bottom to top. So they are all along the element. This is absolutely key. And they are composed within the single facade in a very asymmetrical, unbalanced way. And these streaks, here you see one streak and one streak. And then one, 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 and one. And then if we go around, we will find out. What is the effect? The effect, it is exactly a dynamic effect, a very dynamic effect, that is based on this idea of kind of rotation and movement, kind of pushing together, and constant rotation. So it's a kind of miracle that is happening there. That is exactly putting together these two different worlds. One that is very solid and classical on a way, and heavy,
and the other one that is dynamic, asymmetrical, etc. The incredible thing, just incredible, is that in order to make this, he invents, or in other way, he reinvents something that always existed in traditional architecture. No one of the modern architects wanted to use the same tools that are going to talk about, because it was considered something belonging to the modern architecture. The tool that one is modern, what kind of modern use you can do with that? What I'm talking about is the depth of the facade. Normally, the grammar of the person is speaking, he has to offer her or be a copy. Does he pick up? Yes, sir. I'll take a copy. Yes, it's a good idea. Yeah, no problem, no problem. Just put it in the back and straight. Okay? And these are all techniques that can be used very talk. So it's a really good idea. I'm not offended, but I cannot stand a few things. And so, just take a copy and then we'll be fine. Okay. So what I'm telling you, what was the point, is that he's discovering the chiaroscuro. The chiaroscuro is an old technique coming from the Renaissance time, right? Because you made all these massive buildings, and these massive buildings were done one layer in front of the other layer, on the other layer in light and shadows, so the main system schools, okay? But, and of course this idea of the shadow school was completely abandoned by modern architecture. The modern architecture was light, transparent, and abstract. Instead, within this system, Ferrari is capable of inventing a new modern way of using chiaroscuro. The chiaroscuro is not done in order to reinforce the symmetry or the heaviness or the mass of the building. It was exactly the opposite. It was done to reveal dynamically other issues. So look at these incredible things that are happening here, for example. Here, we notice that. Okay, and then we can notice another thing, that within these bands, there is another world that is happening inside, exactly done at different level of depth, different level of chiaroscuro. So certain things are more in front, certain things are more in back, certain things are back, more, even in some part, even the sky becomes part of the composition. But it's a sky that becomes part of the composition, but only at the second level, because at the first level, it is part of that band. Right? And it must be like that. So the first level is part of this game, that is the basic game of the building in order to make it. And then at the second level of the game, it is part of that idea. It's a big invention, okay? And all these things are the same. You can look at these things. So, now we have a kind of a better feeling why, what is the motive, what is the theme of Terragni? The theme of Terragni is that constant struggle between mass and solidity and dynamic and abstraction. So we can see some other buildings with that. If this is true, we can see, for example, the Novo Comune, the building that we saw before, this one, is all around this issue. It's all around these issues because this is a building that is even symmetrical, sits symmetrically on the street. But let me see what this. Okay, you see, it is a kind of a block that sits there, but at the same time, There is one issue that Terrani is discovering here.
While in these games he was making this game, so in order to create dynamics, he was making this movement, instead of having fine glass resistance, he had a band that runs in this way. What we have here, that takes a little bit of time to discover, but basically he's playing with a typical section of a building. The typical section of a traditional Renaissance building is done finding up elements with certain types of movements, one with the other. It's exactly doing the same thing here, but on the opposite, different in a traditional way. And this creates exactly these dynamics. In other words, let's use our technology here. Let's see if I... Okay. Trying to imagine for a second this building done in this way. So just try to imagine for a second that this is the base, this is kind of the middle body, that is the axis, and that is kind of the terrace. Okay? In this case, you see how the masses stand one with the other in a kind of traditional way. Just look at this part of the building. Look at that. You see how it is something rather traditional in a way. You know? The kind of the piling up is rather traditional. What he does, he kind of inverts what is normally expected. And this immediately creates attention. We should go into this normally acceptable collection only to make this one here. I cannot tell. Going from our scene, you will understand anyway that game of kind of masses together with the presence of elements of tension of that are pretty present all the way through. Just if you look at this. I will show you another building in which these elements is very important. Okay. This building here. Probably you're going also to Milano, and to Milano in Corso Sempione sits this architecture that is called Casa Rustici. It's an apartment building. It's an apartment building. Why is apartment building is so particular? And why this apartment building exactly tells you the same theme that we discussed before? Exactly the same themes of tension between volume on one side and asymmetrical elements on the other. First thing that you have to notice is, again, that this building, my God, is not a courtyard. Okay? It's not a courtyard. Why I'm telling this so interesting? Because I know people are not all the time they say, it's not a courtyard. Not only is not a courtyard, but Terrani himself hated courtyards. Hated so much. I know where I am, that's why I'm putting so much emphasis on these things. Hated so much that when he drew this, he drew that little scheme over there. You see? That little scheme there in the corner, there. What the thing is, it shows one courtyard, that is the black element there. Here, this one, this is the courtyard, and then that is crossed. And then here, instead, he showed his scheme. What is his scheme? This scheme is exactly done to go against the other courtyard. The building is organized on two parallel elements, which are these two. Actually, the building, exactly like the other fashion, exactly like other buildings, going with these other things that Terrani does very often, they divided the area of the project in three parts. He does that often. And then he plays the three parts in different ways. Generally, keeping the central zone in order to have certain things happen. We are going to see another example. So what he does, in making this, he avoids that typical situation of courtyard that you have apartments all going around, by kind of organizing a very straightforward and rationalistic way. Distribution core, rooms, very lined up, very rationalistic on both sides. But then, at the same time, that tension, that kind of idea, there is always a struggle between unity and diversity, between masses and asymmetry of the fact that is what it is revealed here again. So what he does, on one side he shows that, but on the other side he reinvents this element that is one of his keywords, really an element that is key of the running. That's why we're going to see it and discuss about it later. And this element, it is the element that allows him exactly to play its theme, that is the theme of dialectics between the dynamic presence of the parts and the unity in some way of the architecture. This again is an architecture that cannot be conceived without another story. You know, it makes sense in Italy because there is a lot of tradition of, you know, there is a story behind these things. Milano is a city that makes urban architecture always, but at the same time it's a completely new object. It comes also because of the revolution of modern architecture, functionality, and so on and so forth. So, how much time do we want to have at this point? Because I can go, you know, for 3 days, no problem. So, how long do you want? Another 20 minutes, can you handle that, or more, or it's 5:20. Let's make an arrangement here. So we want a break and then finish, for example, like 10 minutes break or 5 minutes break, or we go ahead another 20 minutes. What do you guys want?
You can go ahead.
You can go ahead? Okay. Alright, I go ahead only if you make questions, otherwise I don't. So I can relax a bit. Otherwise we take a break. So questions? Okay. 5 minutes break. So I can drink something because I am so we can do that the second part in half an hour. So around 6 finish. Okay. No,
No, c'ho problemi ci pure io perché sono la bocca secca da paura. Poi c'ho i miei amici che mi offrono una sigaretta.